From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 839, Migrating Group Policy Objects into Intune with guest Katie Nicholson. Recorded Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Hi, this is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Katie Nicholson, who's an infrastructure consultant working at Avanade in the UK and previously has experience working in the education sector of IT systems. And she is a freshly renewed Microsoft MVP in enterprise mobility and is passionate about systems management and deployment. And she runs a great blog called katiestech.blog, which is where I found her. And outside of work in tech, you'll find her riding roller coasters or on country walks. All right, I got to tell you my roller coaster story first, and then we got to talk about the MVP program.
Sure.
So my greatest roller coaster experience of all time was I actually was helping to organize a conference, and we were going to rent one of the Universal Studio parks for the party. And so we had an opportunity to do a site tour. We're kind of picking like which park we're going to rent. We were pretty sure we were going to rent one of the Harry Potter worlds, because why wouldn't you rent one of the Harry Potter worlds, right? But there are back ways into every one of these parks. And so they literally put us on every single ride, like one right after that. No waiting in line. Literally, it's like, okay, now we're in the Marvel DC park, right? The Marvel park. Boom, boom, boom. Four rides in a row. And then, all right, let's take you over to the Harry Potter ones. So boom, boom, boom. Four rides in a row. There's cumulative. I'm past 50. I can't ride that many rides back to back. Like, I can feel cumulative damage building up in me where it's like, you know what? Don't need any more rides. That's good. Thanks. Let's look at the park and talk about menus. I'm up for that. Like, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I know plenty of people past that age that, every day, loads of rides.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, I appreciate the passion. The machine, the whole thing's awesome, but I'm just... Suddenly realized, huh, I'm more of a country walk than a roller coaster ride at this point in my life.
Yeah, they are kind of contrasting hobbies there, aren't they?
They are, but they're both great. And I mentioned the MVP thing with some smirk because we are recording this on July 5th, and this is the announcement day for the MVP program, having been delayed from the previous week. So I think... a lot of MVPs were pretty anxious coming into this day.
Yeah, definitely. I can't remember who it was on Twitter. Someone put out a 3D printer file for a 1st to 5th July disc for the award trophy.
Because normally we get these little discs that go on our award for each year that we're in. But yeah, so he made his own to fill in that gap.
Fill in the 5 day because it's normally the 1st of July, and for some reason this year it was delayed.
I don't envy Microsoft having to push that whole process through. It's an ordeal, not only for the individual MVP, but I guess for all those organizers back there.
Yeah. And we're quite a noisy bunch at times as well.
Yes. Yeah. Let's say they call it an influencer program for a reason. We can make a lot of noise on Twitter, such as that's worth. I don't know what that's worth these days. I'm really excited to chat with you about group policy and this, because it really speaks to this overarching theme that I'm hearing from IT folks all the time, where they're trying to figure out the role of Active Directory in general these days, just because, you know, the homogeneous client is over. It's not like you only have Windows in your organization anymore. You know, you have all kinds of things and they can't all be managed the same way. And I think it's really a challenge for a lot of folks.
Yeah, definitely a challenge. It's still got its place.
Yeah.
Let's say, I don't know, more multi-user devices. I think you're more likely to see it sticking around, or maybe a more specialized or more secure environment, such as maybe a bank where they don't want their endpoints contacting anything on the internet, even if it's just Azure or Intune.
Sure. Yeah, regulatory environments. But
yeah, there's a lot you can do specifically for locking machines down.
Mm-hmm.
So which you can't really do with Intune. So a project I was on recently was trying not to slip up and give too much detail.
Yep. If we got to beep some names, we'll beep some names.
Yeah.
To protect the guilty.
Yeah. So a project I was working on recently, it was a bank, and they had a trading system they needed to move from an older version of Windows Server RDS to mm-hmm. a later one, and they needed a lot of help with the group policies. So that was quite an interesting reminder.
Right. How deep you can go down the group policy rabbit hole. Like, that's a lot.
It still has its place because it was very locked down. So we even had app control policies restricting even what system could run.
Wow.
So when I first went into that, I thought, okay, let's see what breaks if we apply their existing group policy to a fresh 2019 server.
Right.
I hope they're not listening to this. It broke. It wouldn't boot. It was okay. That locked down. It would not boot.
So it worked, quote unquote, worked.
Yeah. So that was an interesting a couple of weeks looking at what processes does Windows actually need to be able to run if you want to see the desktop or want it to even boot to the logon screen.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, a reminder of its place, locking down everything. Some other tweaks I usually like to do, which I've got a blog post about, is the Windows X menu on Windows 10 or 2019. One of my favorites is emptying that out of anything apart from log off, basically.
Right.
You
know, let me bring up this. I did a show a while back with Travis Roberts. It was from early in May. We were talking about moving away from Active Directory and just sort of this consideration of, could you actually stop joining new machines into AD, not so much take the old ones out. And I think we were pretty comfortable with the workstations, but the servers were problematic. But I got this comment off of LinkedIn from we post the show there as well. And Isaac Altman said he really liked the show. It helped me clarify various options. And I really recommend folks listen to this. But he says, I think I've got to keep Active Directory on-premises for Kerberos and NTLM. The other stuff, AAD, is fine. But those are sort of essential services that he's got applications and servers depending on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for those, you don't even need to join the client devices, do you? It's
no.
You just need your users to be in AD and then synced to Azure AD.
And even the guest from that show, Travis, commented on it as well. He says, there are certain pieces of software, quite a few, that just presume that Active Directory is going to be there. The idea that it isn't is kind of beyond that application is not there yet.
Yeah, and I guess the point is, the developers need to stop writing software as if we've got Windows 2000 running and stop assuming that you can just shout out what's the nearest DC and throw a load of LDAP connections at it.
Yeah, that's not the way you're supposed to do that.
No. There's so much you can do with Azure AD. And I think developers just need to update the software, maybe.
Right. Or do we have to put wrappers around it as IT folks so that even when they try and make those calls directly, we're redirecting them through a more mature security channel?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thought.
Maybe we'll ask Microsoft to do that for us.
Yeah.
Hey, Isaac, thank you so much for your comment on LinkedIn. And a Run As Radio mug is on its way to you. And if you'd like a Run As Radio mug, write a comment on the website at runasradio.com or on Facebook and LinkedIn. We publish every show there as well. And if I read it on the show, I'll send you a mug. And Katie, you get your mug in a couple of weeks. Yeah, guests of Run As also get a mug. They come in 11 different colors. They're all the Metro colors from Windows 8. Because all of Run As is a series of IT gags. That's all we do around here, really.
So were they ordered a few years ago, or was the idea to keep the gag running?
when I had the website redesigned and we were trying to go for a look, my graphic designer really liked the Metro colors. Like, I was originally thinking about making the website very like Windows 3.1 because I thought that was funny. And then he pulled up the original design templates for Metro, and it was still called Metro. And we talked about that, and then he prototyped. I'm like, that looks like no other web page I've ever seen before, and it's hilarious. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. And to this day, the Run As website delights me because of that, right? Because it's just so odd, and it's an IT joke. Like, if you think that site's funny, you should listen to my show.
Yeah.
You said this kind of casually, actually, about this, the whole taking group policy elements and pushing them through Intune. Like, how is that even possible? Because group policy to me is so tightly bound to Active Directory, they've almost got nothing to do with each other.
It's not really anything to do with Intune.
You can't actually put group policy in through Intune?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. The way Intune works, it's a bunch of CSP settings, which are configuration service provider settings.
Okay.
Which is, it's sort of a how MDM is designed, dating back to before Intune. So it's quite limited by that.
But this is the way that it's abstracting from policy for different devices. You know, you need a different CSP for an iOS device versus CSPs for Windows devices.
Yeah, that's right. And for Windows devices, there's now a whole range of different CSPs, mm-hmm. things like policy, Passport for Work, BitLocker, Firewall, AppLocker. And a recent addition into Intune is the Group Policy Analyzer, which is currently in preview.
Okay.
Or it was the last time I checked. So with this, you can export an XML file from your group policy management console, import this into group policy analytics. Mm-hmm. It will have a look at it. It will work out if any of your group policy settings exist in any of the various CSPs.
Right.
And if they do, it will tell you. If they don't, it will also tell you.
Right. So one way or the other, but the main thing there is just finding out, like, what are you going to lose?
Yeah, so it will give you a percentage how much of this group policy you've imported will be supported by Intune, and you can then tell it to turn that into a configuration profile. So in a way, you can import group policy to Intune. Whether it's recommended, I don't know. My view on it is don't do it. Just rewrite your policies. Look at what your policies are doing, work out what you actually want to do.
Right.
And create a new profile. You don't want to be importing a whole host of rubbish that you've had in group policy since Windows 2000, Windows 2003.
Why, Katie Nicholson, are you telling us, suggesting we don't keep our group policies organized, know where they came from, why they're set, what the requirement was at the time? Like, how could this be?
Allegedly, I'm saying that.
I don't know anybody who has that stuff organized. Like, really? No, group policy ends up being this net of years of issues.
Yeah. In my previous job where I ran an education network, so I was responsible for all group policy, anything Intune, Active Directory, anything with a plug, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually rewrote the group policies when we did a major update, so 7 to 8.1, 8.1 to 10.
Right.
But since I updated them to 10, I mean, that was, when was Windows 10?
4 years ago now?
It was about 2015, wasn't it?
Is it that long ago? Good Lord.
And we first started using that with 15.11, so yeah, 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
So in the 7 years since then, the amount of rubbish that would have been set and unset, different scripts we put in, workarounds for software that's no longer used.
Oh yeah.
Just rewrite them. Work out what you actually want to do. Maybe re-examine things like, hang on, why do we not let people open Task Manager?
Right.
Is there a valid reason?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, because they can't really do anything without permissions anyway.
Yeah.
I tend to remove a lot of the restrictions when I move things from AD to Intune Manage.
Right.
I mean, some of them because the settings don't exist in Intune, but mostly they don't need to be that restricted.
No. I've also got to think, you're living in a mixed environment. It's like, do we have that kind of restrictions for an iOS device? Do we have that kind of restrictions for a macOS device? Like, why are we punishing the Windows people?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. Yes, Intune has some group policy support, but it doesn't do it all. It doesn't deliver any group policy preferences, it's missing a bunch of security function, and there's a big hole in both Microsoft and third-party ADMX support. But relax, you've got Netrix Policy Pack. With Netrix Policy Pack alongside Intune, you can lift and shift nearly every group policy setting, even those that are not natively supported by Intune. Ready to do more? With Policy Pack and Intune working together, your Windows PCs can be instantly more secure. Policy Pack increases your Windows security for your anywhere workforce because you can remove local admin rights, block ransomware before it happens, manage all the security settings in your browsers, and lock down applications and Windows settings. Don't leave yourself with a half-baked group policy coverage. Get Policy Pack to transition all your real GPOs to Intune, plus increase the PC security you need, all in one package. Get your free trial today and learn the secret weapon hundreds of admins use to manage and secure their Windows endpoint, both on-premises and out in the field. Head over to policypack.com to get started today. That's policypack.com. Netrix Policy Pack. Powerful data security made easy. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Katie Nicholson. We're talking a bit about migrating group policies into Intune, starting with, don't do it. But what you're really saying is a comprehensive review of security rules. And that is a scary thing to say, but it makes a lot of sense. Like, this is a fundamental change to the way you're going to manage security. And it's actually been going on for some time because your CTO showed up with an iPad one day and ruined your life. And so now the idea that we back up and actually go, okay, well, what are all these things? And just because we can lock stuff down in Windows, it can't lock anywhere. Does it make sense? I would also think this is a great opportunity to make that Venn diagram a little more symmetrical. If it's that important that we control what browser you use, shouldn't we also be controlling it on other devices too?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I guess that's one of the good things with Edge is how you can have a single managed device. I guess that's the good thing about Edge, is how you can have a single managed browser across
right.
all your different devices, iOS, Windows, Android. That ties into even compliance rules and conditional access policies. You can really lock it down quite well.
I also really appreciate this idea of sort of equal treatment, that all devices should be treated the same. If the policy is that important, it should apply everywhere. If it can't, how important is it? Like that's a real sort of inclusive way to rethink security. That's a powerful idea. I had not considered that. That might be part of the process is we've got to work through these things because they tend to be cumulative in that mono environment that we started out at a decade ago or two decades ago.
Yeah. And it's just working through not just what you've got, but what you actually need.
Yeah.
And I'd say for new devices, don't even think about hybrid joining them. Azure AD join them, manage them with Intune. You should be able to do everything you need. If you can't, then maybe consider hybrid join. If you've got enough licenses, go and ask Fast Track. They'll be able to help.
Right.
App Assure might be able to help. There's loads of help out there. So if you don't know Microsoft 365 Fast Track, if you've got, I think it's 150 licenses, sort of E3.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty low number. You probably, qualify for Fast Track. And if you do, you certainly should be using it.
Yes.
They really can help you.
And that's, yeah.
Well, how many times have I had the experience of, by the time you call PSS and use one of your tickets, you waited too long? Like, because they're so helpful and they're really good at their job and they really will fix your problem. And you're like, why did I beat myself up for a week over this when this, I've had it done in a day by having the expert in play. And I've had that experience with the Fast Track folks too. You're running around in circles trying to figure out what approach inside of Azure M365 is going to deal with this problem. And eventually you're tied up in a knot. And then you call the Fast Track folks. And you're like, hey, I got a template for you for that.
Yeah.
So do they actually recommend this? I mean, I've included your blog post on this, but you know, how you would move policies over to Intune? Is that part of Fast Track too?
As it's in preview, it's not currently part of Fast Track, as far as I'm aware. But it's part of Intune, so it should be in Fast Track scope eventually.
Yeah. Well, it speaks to the process of evolving your clients and your environment is still going on, right? I really appreciate your sentiment of try AAD first for a client. Hybrid is the lesser cousin, only because it's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And the main message that you tend to see coming out of Microsoft is hybrid wasn't designed as the end step of your cloud journey. It's a stepping stone. You can jump over it if you don't need it. You don't have to go hybrid first.
Right.
There isn't a way to convert a hybrid device to an Azure AD joined device. So without wiping and reloading the system.
Yeah.
So if you don't need it, why would you go for the hassle? Just go straight to Azure AD joined.
Now, I've certainly had Microsoft folks on the show that are saying like hybrid's also a destination. But you've made a very important part there, which is if your destination is hybrid, it's hard to get out of hybrid later.
Yeah. It's certainly a valid place to go temporarily, I would say. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's the Intune focus in me that's...
but when we think Intune, we're talking clients here.
Yeah.
And this is certainly a place I got to on Travis Roberts' show as well, when we were talking about how much AD is the right amount of AD. It's like, you really want to start every client not joined to the local domain. I mean, there's a bunch of them you can't join anyway, but to bring a new Windows device in, why join it to the local domain, a new client device in? Why join it to the Windows domain when none of those other things are? Just put it into AAD and you should be able to get there.
Yeah. I mean, if you have some on-premise applications, maybe they would work fine behind Azure AD App Proxy.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of things out there that you could use to try and get around having to join it to the domain.
Right.
Even if you have you've got a laptop that you bring on site, you want to access the on-premises file server, you don't want to type your password,
right?
Well, single sign-on works. It just works.
Mm-hmm.
If you've logged on to the Azure AD device with a username and password, it automatically lets you in. If you've used Windows Hello, then with a bit of extra config, it single sign-on lets you in.
So the big thing here is, for me as an IT person, is get a new Windows device, only AAD join it, and then start walking through the apps and find out if you actually have any problems, because you may not.
In most cases, I think a lot of people will find they don't have anywhere near the amount of problems they're expecting.
Right.
And when I trialed Intune at my previous job, we thought there'd be loads of problems. We had the printers were just on an on-premise AD joined server.
Right.
Shared through the Samba print share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we thought that's not going to work, but it does.
Interesting, yeah. Because, you know, that's one of the first things I saw from a lot of folks was, if I'm not AD joined, how the heck are printers going to work? It's like, it's a solved problem.
It's one of the big ones that comes up.
Yeah.
Way I went around it, I used a proactive remediation in Endpoint Analytics. So if you don't know how those work, there's a pair of scripts, a detection script, a remediate script,
mm-hmm.
PowerShell scripts. So at the frequency I set, which I think was every hour, I can't remember, It can be every hour or every day or every X hours, every 3 days or whatever. It ran a script. It checked if it was actually on premise and could reach the server.
Right.
And then it checked whether the printers were already there on the device. And the remediate script was just add Windows printer, the path to the printer share.
Right. And so it should just appear, for whatever reason, it wasn't on that person's machine already. And once it's on there once, it's going to stay, even if it's not available. Yeah. It'll just appear if it isn't on there.
And if for some reason it disappears, it will come back when it reruns the check. They might have to wait a little bit. The other way around it is something like Universal Print.
Yep.
Which is good, but the licensing is a little bit restrictive, especially in education.
Yeah.
Depends on how much you print.
Yeah, how important print is to you in the first place. And we did have that Universal Print exploit, which was really a driver's issue, as I recall. That if the printer manufacturer had an old style printer driver, this exploit had options. If it was a current generation driver, it didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
There's all these different hoops to jump through, right? Like, but it's also, you know, often those are things that people use excuses to not even try this, to just skip over it. So, and I appreciate your blog post on Azure AD and Windows Hello. Because Hello is just one of those things I think not enough people have set up. Like, it's a great login strategy.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't understand how it works. And they think, well, how is a 4-digit or 6-digit PIN more secure than my 14-character password with complexity turned on?
Right.
Well, it is, because that PIN is only stored on that device.
Yep.
It creates a public-private key pair, and the public key goes to Azure. Private key stays on the device.
Mm-hmm.
So, in effect, instead of somebody having to guess your password from anywhere in the world, they have to steal the device and guess the PIN.
Right.
And it's much more likely that someone is going to brute force or guess your password, or it will be leaked through various phishing attempts, than they are going to actually come and take your device off you.
Yeah. Because it's bound to the specific device, you've substantially narrowed the scope of the risk. On the story of old apps, you know, another set of shows I've been talking about is a lot of the virtual desktop stuff, because I think it's an IT solution to not being able to get developers to modernize those applications. So we put them in a box, essentially, that then can be remotely accessed.
Yeah, especially in education, there's plenty of services where they say, oh, we've made a cloud version. Come on, sign up to our cloud version. And it's the same old Windows EXE running on a remote desktop server. But instead of being in your data center, it's either on Azure or AWS or
Citrix
software
or one of them.
Data center. And more often than not, it's why would I pay extra for that when I could just spin up my own RDS server?
Yeah. Or my own Azure Virtual, and just pay for it internally. So, I think, you know, we've talked to lots of organizations where it's like, we still depend on this piece of software, but it's not buildable anymore, right? Like the last guy quit, or, you know, we don't know how we would build this again. And that's a very scary piece of software. It's not going to get security patches, like none of those things. And so whatever I can do to encapsulate that, and the fact that I'm looking at that encapsulation going, oh, and it also defeats this AD problem, because it can still be AD authenticated inside of the virtual space, but I don't have to make all the workstations be AD authenticated to access it if it's sitting in that virtual desktop environment.
Yeah, it's a good way around. Ideally, they wouldn't paint themselves into a corner where they have some crucial piece of software, they've either lost the source code, no, they never had it to begin with if it was bought in.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything about it. The last person who actually wrote it, long retired.
Yeah.
Why would you get yourself into that situation?
Yeah, it happens.
You should really just, if it's that important to the business, put some budget aside, get it rewritten, rewrite it as something that Azure Web Service or anything that's not clunky old EXE.
What I like about putting it in virtual desktop is now I have a line item in the bill that's basically, this is us maintaining those legacy apps for you. Want to save this money? Fix the app. But the bigger thing to me is, I'm talking to organizations that are keeping Active Directory on workstations because of that app. So they're punishing every workstation because of that app, rather than just putting it in a virtual desktop, and those who need to use it then have to jump through an extra hoop, and every other machine is not affected.
Yeah, the thing I find daft about that is that these old apps either don't get updated because there's nobody to do a new version, or if they do get updated, some of the apps we used to use at school, we were getting updates, but the update was, here's a new EXE to put on every machine.
Right.
And at the time, it was it was called the MIS, which is the Management Information System. So it had all the details of all the kids, all the contact details, medical details, everything. And every time we had an update once a month, it was a pain to get that pushed out. It's so much easier, stick it on a virtual desktop infrastructure. You've got much fewer hosts to patch. If you do need to update it, it's on 2, 10, 20, however many you are.
Right.
And not hundreds or thousands of workstations.
Yeah.
Especially if your workstations are remote. You're not waiting for them to, if you were joining them to AD, you're not waiting for them to connect over VPN or be brought into the,
right,
into site. If they're on Config Manager, it might take a while for the updates to pull. If you've not set up a cloud management gateway, they'd have to come on site or have VPN. It's just so much easier.
Yeah. You know, this is the old, doctors bury their mistakes and programmers cover them in more code, right? Like you're maintaining this old infrastructure to deal with an old mistake, and there's better ways to manage that mistake. I mean, yeah, the ultimate solution is redo it as a power app or something, right? Like it all cloud and cross-platform and da-da-da-da-da. But given you can't do that, there's better ways to pack that up and free yourself from all of these other things.
Yeah, and even if you're restricted to, I don't know, maybe for compliance reasons, you have to have it in your own data center.
Yeah.
Well,
you could do that.
Do it on remote desktops.
Yeah.
Services, or if you don't, do it on as your virtual desktop.
This, and then, you know, now the security review to move down that path ends up being part of that conversation. Are these app liabilities, and then how we, you know, get away from perimeter defense, which is really what we're talking about here with AD. Like, what's the real thing with AD? It's fundamentally perimeter defense.
Yeah.
And we've got to move off of that. So pushing the perimeters back so that those that cannot behave properly in a managed identity world, just that perimeter gets shrunk. That's what putting them on those virtual machines is shrinking that.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking zero trust security, why have we got all these workstations joined to an AD domain? The users will have, I think the default permissions will be read access to the entire directory. You know, why are we doing that?
Yeah.
When we don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, punishing the whole infrastructure. No, that's good thinking. And I really appreciate that, all of that sentiment. There's not much to talk about on the group policy side of this, except that you needs to kick off that security review. And that's a good thing to do. Because this ultimately is a conversation about getting to zero trust.
Yeah, definitely.
Crushing those perimeters. And this is all part of that. Hey, Katie, really fun to talk to you. I appreciate your thoughts on this. And an awesome blog. Like, really good thinking around getting better at living in a zero trust world, piece by piece.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I need to update it soon. But
You got renewed as an MVP. All the more reason.
Yeah, I've had a little break. So, but I recently moved it to Azure Web Services.
Oh,
So there's a post on that somewhere.
It's awesome.
It used to just be on an Azure VM. It was a PHP. It was a WordPress site. It used to be a WordPress.
Of course, it was.
It's that long ago. I can't even remember what it was. Yeah, it was a WordPress site.
You're not that. Your last post from May. It's not that long ago, and you can catch up.
Yeah. It used to be WordPress. I didn't like how much it was loading onto machines, so I wrote my own.
That,
because I've always liked coding, so
yeah, great geeky solution to the problem. Just now, you're responsible for the perimeter on that one.
Yeah.
Katie Nicholson, so much fun to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. You're welcome. It's been good.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.